There are like 30 Ray's pizzas. They all claim to be the original, but the real one's on 11th.
Welcome to the Stacking Benjamin Show. On today's show, the author of the hit new book, Chasing Slow, Aaron Lochner. Also, how well do you speak Canadian? Well, you better brush up because we'll talk some way up north there Canadian terms, don't you know, with Tanya Stumphauser from GoBankingRates.com. Man, it's just so fun to talk in a Canadian accent. I'm pretty darn good at it, too. Hey, we're also going to talk to two show listeners, but we're still going to have time to throw out the Haven Lifeline to Adam, who asks about health savings. And yet, after all that, we're going to leave you craving some of my trivia. Hey, I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and speaking of craving, here they are, two guys who crave an up stock market every day, Joe and O-J-J-J-J-G.
Wouldn't that be great?
I was going to say, you know what I crave?
Jelly
chocolate
donut.
Marshmallow ice cream.
Hey, everybody.
There's not very many places that have that.
I'm Joe Salci. Hi, Average Joe Money on Twitter and across the card table from me, Mr. Chocolate. You're like a big chocolate marshmallow ice cream belly dude.
What?
The one and only OG.
Hold on. Let me show you.
No. Don't do that again. Oh, no.
That's a six pack.
That's a
underneath a protective layer.
That's a fur coat is what it is. It's just.
Unsee that.
Yeah. I'm going to have nightmares. Hey, but you know, it's not going to give me nightmares. Heading to StackyBenjamins.com/SoFi because if you're looking to save money, OG, you should be refinancing your debt so you can afford a razor. Head to StackyBenjamins.com/SoFi, spelled S-O-F-I. They're the leader in marketplace lending. Over 225,000 people have refinanced debt with SoFi. They'll help you finance your regular student loans, parent or plus loans. They funded over $15 billion with a B dollars in loans to date. And listen to this. They've saved members over $1.45 billion. Our friend Dan Macklin at SoFi tells us it only takes a few minutes to find out how you can work with SoFi. So what are you waiting for? StackyBenjamins.com/SoFi. Don't only handle student loans, OG, but also personal loans if you're consolidating that credit card debt and also mortgages. They'll give you $100 if you use our link for your personal loan or your student loan, StackyBenjamins.com/SoFi. Use that $100 toward the interest on your loan to pay it down quicker. And a place helps you go much quicker, StackyBenjamins.com/MagnifyMoney, because our friends Nick and Brian over at Magnify Money and their crack team of experts have created the most easy-to-use website with the most financial products on earth in one place. In fact, a Reddit user recently said there's 92%. They did a I don't know how they figured this out, but 92%.
Well, they counted them all up and then divided by all the ones that were there into, and then that comes up with 92%.
But they ran out of, after fingers and toes, where do you go?
Other people's toes.
They lined up the whole team and more. StackyBenjamins.com/MagnifyMoney. The average person who goes there, by the way, saves $450 either on lower fees, lower interest rates, or on higher yields on things like savings accounts or certificates. So whether you're in the mood for a better checking account or in the business of paying down your debt or getting the right credit card instead of just that one that came in the mail, StackyBenjamins.com/MagnifyMoney. Man, we got a great show today. We're going to be mixing it up a little bit. Aaron Lochner's here. And you know how Robert Kiyosaki talks a lot, Rich Dad Poor Dad co-author, talks a lot about the rat race and about how there's just more and more and more. We've got this great author coming on. She's a design blogger originally, Aaron Lochner, HGTV.com, had a series, a big web series that over 1 million viewers. Aaron was living the rat race and said, no more.
Done, huh?
And I love this story, especially for financial planning, because people think financial planning is always more, better, quicker. It's not. Doesn't have to be. And Erin Lochner, somebody who is chasing slow, she calls it. And we're going to talk to her about chasing slow. But first, we've got some headlines. So here we go.
Hello, darlings. And now?
All right, you know what? I'm sick of headlines, OG.
Thank you. So am I. Yeah. Because you always pick the worst ones anyway.
Thank you very much for that. I'll take that as a compliment coming from you.
But despite that, half of them I send to you.
But if by half you mean once every month, I totally agree.
But they're good when I do.
Hey, but you know what we're going to do, OG? We're going to have the new game show that's sweeping the nation. Do you like my cheesy game show music?
It doesn't sound like game show music to me, but go ahead.
Oh, come on. Sure it does. Okay. The new game show sweeping the nation, or at least finally sweeping the show under the rug once and for all. It's Can You Speak Canadian Money? We're going to play Can You Speak Canadian Money with two of our fantastic listeners to the show. We're going to start off in, I believe, in Alabama, where I think Nicole's joining us. Nicole, are you on the shortwave with us?
Hello. Yes. Right here from Florence, Alabama.
It's about time you got here.
I know. I'm excited. I've been waiting.
To shave. Tell me about your relationship with Canada. Have you been to Canada before?
Here is the best thing that's ever happened to me in Canada. I've been there once. I went to Sault Ste. Marie, and I picked up a $20 American bill when we crossed the border.
Just lying on the ground?
Just lying on the ground. And only time I found money, $20.
Well, you took it to Canada, awesome. And it was worth it. Like, what's it worth, OG? About $1.50 then in Canada?
In Canadian? Oh, yeah, at least $1.75 now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So you made 75% on your money just by being at the border, Nicole.
It's exciting.
Yeah, I think that's the way it works, but probably not. And joining us...
So there's my relationship with it.
Joining us from the great state of Oklahoma, a place where my car broke down. A couple weeks ago, John joins us. John, where are you at in Oklahoma?
At the center of many broken down cars, right in the heart of it, Oklahoma City.
OKC.
You guys, that state's relationship with the Thunder, they love the Thunder there.
They are clearly the crowning glory for everything that is sports related.
All right, John, here's the big million-dollar question. What's your relationship with Canada?
Well, I have seen Canada both on a map and from across Niagara Falls. That is about my limitations.
Nice. Oh, okay. Gee, this is perfect. It's a train wreck already. I love it. This is great.
I've seen Canada on a map.
The woman who's going to lead us in this great game, and I first saw it. It was an awesome project that she created with some friends over at GoBakingRates.com. From Go Baking Rates, Tanya Stumphauser joins us. Welcome.
Thank you for having me, A.
Okay. Well, geez.
And B.
How are you hosers doing?
Glad we finally got you on the show, don't you know? Yeah, okay.
Don't you know?
Yeah, you speak Canadian pretty well, Tanya, but like me, you're from the Detroit area. And so
I am.
Yeah, Canada wasn't that far for us.
No, that's right. I spent a lot of time in Toronto. And then when I lived in Seattle, I spent a lot of time in Vancouver. A.
All right, Tanya.
I'm going to stop doing that.
You all stretched out and ready to go?
I'm all, oh, yeah. Did my downward facing dog this morning. Good job.
All right, here we go. We're going to have ladies first. This is for a huge, huge prize, a Stacking Benjamins t-shirt of your choice. I know, pinch yourselves.
Excellent.
John and Nicole. Yeah, I know. Yeah, we couldn't come up with something good, so that's what you get. Here we go. We're going to go first to Nicole. And Tanya, question number one.
Question number one, what is a toque?
A 2-cent piece.
And
that is incorrect.
Oh, hold on. With the chance to steal, it's not a 2-cent piece, oh. John. Does that mean it's a 3-cent piece?
I would have gone for a full dollar, but I couldn't say.
Tanya, what is a toque?
A toque is not even money. It's a knit cap commonly worn in winter.
That you have to buy. That's the relationship.
That was my next guess.
Mm-hmm. And you want to buy one because it's freezing this time of year.
Why do you have to wear a hat in winter? That's what I want to know. Because it's cold up there.
It's cold.
It's the Great White North.
It's cold up on the top of your head. OG, is that the deal?
Well, it's getting colder. Not quite as cold as your top of your head is.
Probably not. So the score after half a round, Nicole 0 and John 0. This is going exactly like we'd hoped. Question number two, we're going to throw it to John first. All right, John, your chance to take the lead. What do you got, Tanya?
Question number two, what is a loony?
A loonie is a coin with a duck on the back of it. I think it's a quarter.
Partially. Tanya, it's partially correct, right? But I don't think it's correct enough.
We'll give you half a point.
Maybe.
Hey, that's,
well,
that's
wait a minute.
More than I earned.
Let's see if Nicole can steal that one. Nicole?
I've got to decide which half is wrong. A goose? Did he say a duck?
He said a duck, yeah.
I'm going to say it was a goose then.
Tanya, the answer.
Well, first of all, isn't a loony the actual bird, I believe? I'm not sure.
Yes, that is, yes. A loony is the bird,
yes, but it is a $1 coin.
I think it looks like a duck, but I think it's just a loony.
Well, if
but the Canadian money's so devalued that it's roughly a quarter, right?
You're applying the currency conversion to U.S. dollars.
Yeah. On the fly. That's how we do it.
Nice.
John's begging for half a point.
Yeah.
John, half a point. Gets half a point. Nicole gets nothing because judges
so
like
sad.
Judges like being sucked up too. We'll throw it back to Nicole for question number three, Tanya.
All right, question number three. What is a toonie?
A hat with a loonie on it.
Nice.
That's all I got.
John, can you make it a point and a half?
I cannot. I have maybe a sled. I don't know. At this point, it could be anything.
This one's going to be really, you guys are all going to be real angry when you find out the answer to this one.
Oh, yeah. Tanya, can I do this one?
Yes, it is a $2 coin.
No.
Yes.
No.
If a loony is $1, a toonie is $2.
A toonie is $2 coin.
There's too much pressure.
All right. Nicole, did I throw it to you first for that one?
You did.
All right. We go back to John. John might be able to take an insurmountable lead here with question number four. John.
Unlikely.
All right. Tanya, what do we got?
All right.
For John?
Here it comes. What is a double-double?
Isn't that in basketball?
Ooh.
We're talking points and score, points and steals, or points and blocks.
We're talking Canadian.
Twice a year where the temperature reaches above double digits.
There you go. Creativity.
Tanya, is he right or wrong on that one?
He is incorrect.
Oh, Nicole, correct? You know what that means. No.
Oh, the steal, that's right.
Yes, Nicole, you got a chance to take the lead.
When you get twice your money on the 2nd of February?
So great.
Yes, that is correct. No, it's not.
That would have been even better.
It would have been.
The answer is a coffee with two creams and two sugars.
Bam, bam. And
sounds delicious.
And wait a minute, Tanya, where do you buy that at?
That I do not know.
Obviously, Tim Hortons,
right? Yeah.
Yeah, you get that at Tim Hortons. One. Okay.
Oh,
you
got to get over to Tim Hortons,
eh?
Yeah, Tanya,
I'm totally a hoser for not knowing that.
I was going to say for a former Detroiter, that was
They didn't have it when I lived there. That came in after I moved. It
did. All right. We'll give you that one. So it is the score for those of you paying attention to the score. Yeah, John has one half for getting the duck correct. And Nicole has exactly. Nicole, what was that score? It's
zero?
I think it's zero. But there's good news. We're throwing it back to Nicole now. Here we go.
Okay, question five. What is a 2-4?
Moose. Two moose. A pair of moose.
Two.
Would that be mooses or moose eyes?
No, as I was saying it, I was trying to figure out how to make it plural.
Mooses is.
Moosorum.
Yes.
If you follow comedian Brian Regan, it's moose in. I don't know if everybody's heard that joke. Is it moose in?
My official answer, two moose in.
Tanya, right or wrong?
Wait, isn't it someone going to steal?
Well, only if she's wrong, which I guess you're saying she's wrong.
Oh, yes, she's wrong.
Yes. Yeah, Tanya's already forgotten how to play the game, her own game.
That's okay.
All right, John, big chance. What's a twofer?
A twofer, where I'm from, is pronounced a little bit differently, but it's called a 2x4, and it's a piece of building material.
Mm. Ooh.
Good guess, but incorrect.
Oh, what's the real answer, Tanya?
Shocking.
2-4 is 24 cans of beer, of course. Posers.
I get that Molson Triple X.
Exactly.
And you know what else they call that, OG?
Blue Ice.
A 24-pack of beer. A good start.
Tuesday afternoon. Right.
Tuesday about
Tuesday
three.
Tuesday morning. What are you talking about?
In the Windsor Tunnel.
Tanya, what do we got for John?
Yeah, question six. I've actually heard this before I played the game myself, so maybe there's a good chance for them to redeem themselves. But what is poutine?
That's a dietary supplement for children.
That is incorrect.
Yeah, isn't that that's something that OG's new daughter does in her diaper, right?
Poutine. We need the buzzer sound.
I know. I got this cheesy music. I got no effects. I'm sorry. But Nicole, big chance. Your big chance to take the lead. Poutine.
Oh, goodness. Something Canadian.
Correct.
I think that's a half a point at least.
Right. Heavy-duty boots.
Excellent guess. But this is something that goes excellent after you've had 24 cans of beer, which is fries with gravy and cheese curds.
Oh, you eat that?
Oh, my.
After 24 cans of beer. After you've had a 2-4.
Right. Just
because you'd never eat it before that. For sure.
It's the Canadian version of Taco Bell at 2 a.m.
You go to Denny's to get it, but the Canadian version of Denny's.
Tanya, when you guys played this game at Go Baking Rates, was the score 1.5-0 at this point?
You know, I think I got that. Actually, that's the one I got right. It's the only one I got right. I did guess 2-4 as well after a couple of guesses.
All right, come on, Nicole. Let's do it.
Here we go. Okay. I need a point.
What does RRS stand for?
Oh, yeah.
RRSP. I'm struggling here. Royal?
Nope. No. You didn't mean royal. You didn't mean royal.
I didn't?
No, you meant registered.
I meant registered royal?
I knew that was on the top of your head. You were thinking registered the whole time.
Mm-hmm. So Think money.
Think money. Okay.
John's going, this game's baloney. Why does Nicole get the hint?
Yeah. Okay, so SP? S&P? I have no idea.
Oh,
registered.
Savings.
I cannot. I'm savings? Okay, so registered royal savings? I'm just trying to throw royal in there somehow.
You really want royal, and that's going nowhere, girlfriend.
No,
I think the timer has expired. No, yes.
I think the show ended about 20 minutes ago. Now, when we started this game.
We got 30 seconds when we played this game.
All right, John, your chance for the big steal.
I got the savings plan portion of it, but that was all. Royal registered savings plan would probably have been my guess. What the RR for is strictly Canadian.
You guys are going to kick yourself. It's the Canadian version of a 401k. And it's called a registered retirement savings plan.
Of course.
You know that Canadian term, retirement.
Tip of the tongue.
Yeah.
Right there.
That thing that Canadians look forward to where they can drink more 24 packs of beer and have.
We had one guest at Go Banking Rates. Somebody said it was really, really salty poutine.
which why does it have to be either or? It could be both, right?
True.
Yeah. All right, and now we go back to John. John, Tanya, what's John's question?
All right, what is a pogey?
I know what a pierogi is. I don't know that that's giving you any help, John. But
no, I also enjoy pierogies and would hope that they are the same thing.
Get them out of the freezer at Walmart.
Yep, made by wonderful Ukrainian ladies, I believe.
Oh, they're all handmade.
Yeah, maybe not at Walmart.
It's also kind of a band, right? The Pogies?
The Pogies.
Pogies.
That was my next guess, though, is that it was a Canadian band.
That's what they call it.
Not as popular as Rush, but, you take what you get.
It's a Pogues cover band, right?
That is incorrect, by the way.
Oh, Nicole, it's your big opportunity.
Okay, I'm ready. A Canadian specialty sandwich.
That is incorrect, but that is a very good guess. Somebody where I work, I can't speak this morning. I haven't had coffee. I'm not a good game show host. It is not a pork pierogi, or what do you say? Pork hoagie or pork hoagie. It's not that. It is unemployment insurance.
Unemployment insurance.
Obviously.
Mm. Yeah, Chuck.
Obviously.
Because you're a pogie if you're not working.
True.
Through no fault of your own.
It needs fun.
This is like judo. First one to one's going to be the crowning king.
This is a feel-good game.
I do believe
the game is tied.
Everyone gets a trophy.
That's right. Participation.
Yeah, right.
Special snowflakes.
All right. Guess what? Nicole with a big chance to win. Nicole, you have goosebumps?
I'm ready.
Final Jeopardy here. We need like triple rounds or triple the points or something. Yeah, something big.
Yeah, I wish I had like
3/4 of a point would get me in the lead at this point.
I should have had some like big da-da-da music but we don't. Instead, okay, we have Tanya with a big last question.
I'll try to make it sound important. What is a GIC?
Government Income Credit.
Incorrect.
Close.
That was close. John?
Along the same lines, I think.
Big chance to win.
A government employee compensation?
That's incorrect.
That would be a GEC.
What'd you say, IC?
Yes.
Oh, that's not from Oklahoma. That's just me being an idiot.
Spelling isn't very big in Oklahoma either. And the real answer, Tanya.
Okay, well, it is, from what I was told, the Canadian version of a bank CD.
It is.
And it actually stands for Guaranteed Investment Certificate.
That is correct. And I had clients when I was in Detroit that had those. OG, have you had clients that had GICs?
No, I don't know what that is. So, yeah.
All right.
Is that some kind of fixed income? You know my feeling on that.
But you know what that means, OG? That means everybody is a winner. Everybody gets a T-shirt. How great is that?
Yay!
Fantastic.
Victory is mine.
After 30 minutes of sludging through this, bearing your soul to the 7 or 8 listeners.
Right.
But you'll tell your friends, so they'll probably be 10, maybe 11 this go around.
You know, I called the Haven Lifeline once and somebody actually recognized my voice where I work. So
no kidding.
There's more listeners than you think.
Oh my gosh, there's 12 listeners then.
Glad you told me that now.
I have a funny Canadian story. We were driving down the road and the great band Bare Naked Ladies was advertising on the radio. And my son, who is 7, they were talking about how down at the park, there's going to be Bare Naked Ladies. And my 7-year-old, he goes, "Dad, stop the car. We have to go there." And I said, "It's not what you think, dude."
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not what you think, but that had me going for quite a while.
Yeah, Canada doesn't have a bunch of bare naked ladies down at the beach.
No, I'm telling
very,
you.
Very, very white. Very, 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 very pale.
Yes, only wearing a toque. Nicole, thanks for playing.
Thanks for having me.
I'm very sorry that all we have for you is a T-shirt. I know that's disappointing, but we'll get that code sent out to you right away. And awesome. John,
I think you need Stacking Benjamin's toques.
We totally do for this.
Oh, well,
we
totally cool.
do, eh?
They cost a loony.
Yeah, or a toonie. John, thanks a ton for joining us again.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And that was the train wreck we expected it to be. So thanks, everybody. Oh, gee, I think the big lesson, because we have to have a lesson at the end of our headlines, is
you're exactly right.
Yes, correct. Tanya. We got to say thank you to you. What's going on with you over at Go Banking Rates?
Oh, wow. You just surprised me with this question. lots and lots of videos, and we're doing some great Facebook Lives with some great guests. We had Tony Robbins on recently, so we're kind of trying to kick butt and take names, and I hope you guys can tune in and check us out.
Yeah, we'll have a link to the original video of this game, which was equally the train wreck this was, over on our show notes at stackybenjamins.com. Thanks again, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks.
We've had a lot of people come down here to the basement that are authors and are going to give us a few gems from their book. This may be the best designed book we've ever had by any author on here. You know,
yeah, you're putting it right in my face. Can you back it up just a smidge so that I can... there we go.
David,
yeah, that's cool.
David Carlson's was a nice paperback, but man, this book. And when you open up the chapters, just the way that, check this out. Like there's sidebars, chapters, they have
Places to take notes and
recipes,
cool,
beautiful pictures, just well designed.
You know what'd be crazy is if, like, since we interview all these people, and to be fair, you do the interviews, but it would be cool if you asked them to send two books.
You know how many times you've said that and I've never done it?
Like 500. 500 times.
Oh, gee, this woman's a former art director, stylist in Los Angeles. She's been blogging and speaking for more than a decade. Her heartfelt writing and design work have been showcased in little places you've never heard of, like the New York Times, mm-hmm. Lucky, Parenting, Dwell, Marie Claire, Elle Decor, Huffington Post. And of course, as I mentioned at the top of the show, she had that 2-season HGTV web special garnering over 1 million fans worldwide. She's spoken for and appeared in renowned international events for clients such as Walt Disney. Never heard of that. Mm-hmm. IKEA. Never put those together. Martha Stewart. And Home
Depot.
You do
it one time.
Erin Lochner has written this awesome book, Chasing Slow. I saw it. I asked her if she should come on, and I'm thrilled that she could. So Erin Lochner, coming down to the basement. And Erin Lochner joins us in the basement. Have a seat. How are you?
Oh, my gosh, Joe. Thank you for having me. I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'm so glad that you included us on your book tour, because I have to tell you, I read a lot of books, and your book is so well designed. Like, I know, you know, I want to get into what it's actually about, but how did you come up with this idea for this book, Chasing Slow?
That's so kind. Thank you. You know, I think the title itself lends itself to so much tension. And right off the bat, you know, this is not a happily ever after story, right? This is an in-progress story. This is a story from the middle. And so in terms of the design, I was straddling two fences. It was this memoir, but it's also a little bit of certainly my story, but it's a slow living story as well. So it's kind of my story, but everybody's story. Right. And I didn't want to approach it from a how-to angle, because I just don't believe there's one path to doing this thing right. But at the same time, I did want it to feel personal. I wanted the photography. I wanted it to really do this subject justice, because I feel like it's a very robust, very worthy subject to pursue.
You even have recipes in here, like talking about slow. Nothing gets me in the moment more than cooking.
Oh, right. And I actually am a terrible cook. I'm still learning. So these are the easiest recipes I can muster, taken from my actual kitchen. So it's super fun.
Are you familiar with, in the financial world, there's this guy, Robert Kiyosaki, Erin, and he has this concept called the rat race, and how we're all in the rat race where we need to make more money, and we need to then buy more stuff so we can make more money, so we can buy more stuff, so we can, and he talks about getting off that wheel. And I had the same feeling from you, because in the open of the book, you're living in LA, and it just seems like you were right in the middle of the rat race.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes. You know, it's so funny, because that's what we're taught, right? That's what upward mobility means, and that there's some sort of hierarchy that's just ingrained in us, that once we find success, we'll be at the top of the food chain and everything will be great. And then we'll find happiness, and it's all in alignment. And I found the opposite to be true. You know, it was almost as if the faster I was on the rat race and the more I pursued things, the less fulfilled I truly was.
I've been studying the Tao Te Ching, and there's this idea there in that philosophy about being like water. You know, where most of us are so busy, Erin, that if the water flows in a direction, we're so busy we don't even notice it, we can't follow it. Where in real life, we want to be able to do that. It seems to me that just being in that atmosphere, being in LA, made it difficult to be still and to be happy.
It did for me. And I won't say that's for everyone, but I am typically a very sensitive person. I rate very high on the empathy charts. You know, I pick up on a lot of energy from a lot of different people. And so for me, that was just, it was like being in Vegas with so many slot machines. There was so much emotion and energy and creativity and all great things, but there was so much of it for me. I couldn't find a place to retreat truly.
I love Las Vegas, but after 2 days I'm exhausted and I want to get the heck out of there.
Oh, 100%. I will fall asleep on the floor if I have to. Right. That's the worst place ever.
on a much more difficult topic, because it is a huge piece of your book and of your philosophy. How did your husband first tell you about his brain tumor?
Oh, I want to say it was date two, right off the bat. I'm happy to say that he's healthy, he's happy, he's thriving currently. But I just knew from the get-go, you know, he's such a great dude. It was one of those, it really wasn't that hard of a decision. Either I get to live a life with Ken one way or another, you know.
Yeah.
It might be shortened, but I'm in.
And it's funny because death is this important topic and we don't want to buy life insurance or do our estate plan. But for you, it feels like you've lived with this, you know, this finite feeling that we all have, but you have it in front of you much more often. Do you think that that's changed your perspective also?
100%, Joe. And it has been the biggest gift, I have to say. You know, my husband and I will talk about it sometimes. And if we had to choose this path, we would, because it forces you to honor the weight of the life that you've been given. It truly does. It makes everything feel weighty, and certainly there's fear and there's anxiety and there's the what ifs that are kind of replaying in your head. And I feel like I can say that now, being, you know, well into my 30s, it was much harder in the beginning when you feel like life is your oyster and yeah. All of a sudden you're kind of weighted down by all of this. But now, being kind of in the middle, in the murky part of it, I just appreciate so much more about this life. I appreciate so much more about every day that I get with him, every day that he gets with our kids. And it has really, really, truly been a gift.
Another very emotional part of your book is that you got caught, at like so many people. In fact, I can't tell you the number of guests we've had on this show, Aaron, that got caught in the housing crisis. It seems also that that really tested you in a big way.
Yes. And you know, it's so funny is, of course, I thought I was the only one. You know, I knew that everyone was having problems. I knew that this was a harder thing than we intended and everybody anticipated, and it was much worse than we thought it would be. But still, you know, you grow up and you just assume that if you go through all of the right steps, you know, we were very financially responsible and we used the house as a rental. It was an investment opportunity, you know, and so I think we thought that we were doing all of the right things, and that, of course, you know, if you go through the motions and you're making good choices, then you expect a good outcome. And that just was not the case for us.
Like, maybe this ground that we thought was solid isn't as solid as we thought. We have to reexamine our life and our self.
Exactly. You know, I truly learned that life is not, it is not to be controlled. You know, it is not to be measured. It is this wild, beautiful, unruly thing that we don't really get to, we get power over, sure, but we don't get control over. We don't get a say in some of our circumstances.
How do you find yourself then chasing slow now, Aaron?
You know, it's so funny writing a book about slow living because the promotion of said book is incredibly fast. Right. And so, you know, I've felt in the past a little hypocritical in that I published it in general, but it's been, I think for me, the best thing that I've learned about slow living is A, that it looks different for everyone, and B, that it's a choice we get to make every single day. You know, it's in those micro minutes. It's in choosing to stare out the window for 10 minutes instead of stare at your phone again. Choosing to look your kid in the eye when they talk to you. Choosing to cook the meal instead of order takeout. Might take a little more time on the front end, but might be a more enjoyable experience with your family. So yes, I feel like I'm learning so much and still learning so much about that process, but it's really been a beautiful journey.
How has that affected your money? Because it seems to me that if I'm thinking about living slow and I'm eating more at home, I'm making maybe more conscious decisions. Have you seen an effect on your pocketbook at all?
You know, it's so funny. I pay zero attention to our pocketbook. My only rule is to live below my means. And so I don't know what the numbers are. I don't know. My husband, I'm assuming, does. We're built very differently. But for me, I know, I guess it has changed how I've been spending, in that some things are worth more than others, and I've learned just to prioritize the things that are worth it to me. You know, I talk about cooking at home, but one of the things that I do is if I'm throwing a dinner party and, you know, of course you think the slow living girl would have the 4-course meal that she's been slaving over for 3 days and, you know, the turkey's marinated or whatever. But I would much prefer order a pizza from the local pizza joint than cook for my guests, because I have a hard time multitasking. So it's a priority to me to spend my money on really expensive pizza that I could probably make for far cheaper, that would probably be healthier for far cheaper. but I get to connect with my guests because we're ordering takeout and I'm not sleeping in the kitchen. I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. I'm thinking about another great book that I like called Never Eat Alone. And he talks about the power of the potluck, about don't waste a bunch of money on creating the perfect four-course meal. Make something in a pot, because there's something communal about having like a soup or a stew or a chili, you know, that we're all eating out of the same pot. There's something that represents that we're all very much alike, but then having everybody else bring something also does, and the cost stays down and you don't worry about all the cooking. And yeah, I think you're singing off the same song sheet.
Oh yeah. That's a beautiful concept. I never thought about the pot.
Yeah,
but it's true.
Yeah, me neither. Until then, and then ever since then, Aaron, people are like, why the hell we have chili every time we come over to your house?
Oh, I love it.
You know, I mentioned the Tao Te Ching earlier, and I know that in Silicon Valley right now, like the trendy thing to do, entrepreneurs are leaning into the writings of Marcus Aurelius. For you, and throughout the book, it's really been the Bible that seems to have been your spiritual center, and it also seems like throughout the book, you started off as a spiritual person, but didn't really have a community. This isn't a religious show, but spirituality is a big part of this book.
Oh gosh, yes. You know, I've always been, certainly given Ken's diagnosis, and then I think just the way that I was built, I've always been looking for the unseen. I've kind of always wanted to notice the unnoticed. And so any sort of faith background has always been a really great grounding tool for me. And I feel like the longer I live, the more truth I do glean from the Bible. And the more I realize that no other standard competes. It is just infinitely true in so many areas. And yes, I have doubts. And yes, I have questions and anxieties. And I wonder, you know, what does this mean? And what does this mean? And what does this mean? And I know in terms of maxims and certainly in terms of Proverbs, I just feel like there's so much wisdom to be found there in all aspects of life, finance included.
And it also seems like the community, the church community, really became a big part of you and your husband.
It did. Yes, it did. And that certainly came later as well. And I think there's a bit of vulnerability involved in that, certainly. So it does make it tricky. And it's so hard to find community as an adult.
It totally is. In fact, I was reading a thing last week that middle-aged men, I'm 49, middle-aged men mostly suffer from loneliness because most of us don't have friends.
Oh my goodness.
I know, isn't that horrible?
But it's probably true.
Yeah.
I had never considered that.
No, I feel very lucky because I have, when we moved to Texarkana 8 years ago, I found just this great community of people that just, I feel incredibly lucky after I read that to say that I have some fantastic friends. But I want to change gears here for a second, Aaron, because, so I'm a Catholic boy and I felt like I was reading your confessional on page 34 of your book, when you had a short list of childhood transgressions. I just want to read these to everybody. In number one, punching my best friend in the stomach in kindergarten. Why the heck would you do that?
I don't know. I can't even remember. My mom's, there was punishment involved.
Number two, etching Wayne Linford's initials into the bowling alley bathroom door. You must have been pretty hot for that dude.
Yes. You've never done that. I think everybody's done that.
I think I'll take the fifth. Number three, tearing the heads off of my sister's JCPenney's paper dolls. I'm sorry, I can't get through that while laughing.
No, guilty.
Yeah, she must have made you really mad.
Uh-huh. Yes, there were two of them, always.
There was a singer-songwriter, Tony Childs, that I liked, and we went to see her in concert. And in the middle of the concert, she has the lights come up, and she tells this story about how awful her older brother was. And he would take her Barbie dolls, and he would bury them except for their head. And then he'd bring out his dad's golf clubs, and he'd golf the heads off of her.
Oh, that is terrible.
And I was thinking the same thing when I was reading these. Number four, putting gum in Keisha Falk's Barbie's hair.
Yes. That was really, truly the worst thing you could do to a Barbie, you know, because then you got to do the shaving of the hair.
And oh, yeah.
It's a big thing.
Barbie, after that, was getting a short haircut.
Uh-huh.
Number five, putting gum in Keisha Falk's hair. So you didn't stop there. You had to go to the next, you had to do the nuclear option.
Yes. Granted, these were two separate days. We were given a lot of gum as a child. I think that was maybe on our parents, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. The big thing here is keep the gum away from Aaron.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then number seven was stealing gum because he didn't have enough gum.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
yes.
And then number eight was stealing Jen Goshman's boyfriend.
Yes. Oh, man. so many memory lane travels there.
I'm sorry. I had to bring those up because the book goes through these kind of heavy conceptually. Why are we all here? What are we doing here? Which I think we all need to examine. And then I have a list like that and I can't stop. I'm laughing so hard I'm crying. So great stuff.
Well, yeah, that's the beauty of life. You know, you get the fun and you get the weight and it just is one messy, crazy ride, right?
Right. So tell me this. So what's next for I Have You Here? And as we were introducing you, as you were walking down the stairs, we were talking about your awesome blog, Design for Mankind. What's next for your blog?
You know, I have just decided I'm going to write about whatever I want to write about now. So I don't know. I have no idea. I wake up at 2 a.m. right now, which is just nuts, I know. But I go to bed really early. I go to bed by 7. And so I have this thing where I crave, we just adopted a baby, so things are kind of nuts right now. And I crave that peace and quiet. So I've been just waking up at 2 a.m. between feedings and I pad out to the dining room table and I just write literally whatever comes out. And it's been so much fun, you know, not worrying about the editorial calendar and just really kind of falling back in love with the writing itself. So I'm just going to keep doing that. Who knows what'll come out.
And that seems like Aaron Lochner right there to a T. Yes. The book is Chasing Slow. Where can we get it?
It's at Barnes & Noble. It's on Amazon. Basically anywhere books are sold.
Awesome. And I'll have a link to it if you're out walking the dog or on the morning run or driving to or from work on our show notes at stackingbenjamins.com. Aaron Lochner, thanks for hanging out with us.
Thank you so much, Joe. It's such a great, great pleasure to be here.
Hi, everyone. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and I'm your resident trivia expert here to dish out a little helping of your favorite piece of the show. Here's today's question. What world-famous music group broke up on this day, April 10th, in 1970?
Nice trivia question, man. You got the answer ready to go?
Yeah, of course I do. Thanks, but somebody's got to be the pro around here. Wait a minute. Shouldn't you be doing the SoFi spot right now?
Well, it's funny. I'm getting ready to do that right now, man.
Hey, I just thought of something. When you do it, remember to tell them that SoFi is the leading marketplace lender.
Okay. Yep. Got it.
And actually, also make sure that you say that they have these phenomenal rates on student loans and personal loans and mortgages. They do mortgages great.
Dude, I got it.
Are you sure? Because I don't want you to forget that you get there by going to stackingbenjamins.com/SoFi. Tell them that. Tell them you get there by going to stackingbenjamins.com/SoFi, and you got to spell it out for them. You got to say S-O-F-I, like really slow like that.
Why don't you just get the trivia ready, huh?
All right. Yeah, I'm gonna. And they're gonna love this answer. It's really, really cool. But right now, now that I think about it, we also have to tell them about the Magnify Money people. So tell them to go to stackingbenjamins.com/Magnify Money for their financial stuff too, right? Tell them that.
We do that every show.
No, you don't. Every show?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, but anyway, just because I know that whether it's checking accounts or saving accounts or debt accounts, they've got like 90% of them rated. So make sure you tell them to go there because it's awesome.
Have you ever, ever once listened to the show that you're on?
No, I don't think that's relevant here. Well, I just really want to make sure that you got this because why should people settle for inferior personal finance products when like a trip to stackingbenjamins.com/magnify money is so easy? It doesn't matter if I listen to the show. These people just need to know how awesome this product is.
I got it.
You're going to say all that, like all that stuff I just told you about SoFi and Magnify Money. You're going to say all of it?
Why do I need to, man? You just did. Get the trivia ready.
Hi, everyone. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and welcome back to My Trivia. Before the break, I asked the question, what world-famous music group broke up today, April 10th, in 1970? The answer? If you said the Beatles, you can high-five yourself. While there were multiple causes that led to the breakup, it was first made public when Paul McCartney announced he was leaving the band. I guess he decided it was time to be a man on the run. Like, you know, that big song. Man on the run, man on the run. Ding, 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 ding. Oh, that's a great song.
Get it?
Ha.
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 And congratulations, you knew another one. You're brilliant.
Yes, thank you.
With a capital amazing.
Thank you. Glad you recognize genius when you see it.
Well, either genius or a guy who has a head full of useless knowledge about defunct bands. One or the other of those is correct.
I don't particularly even like the Beatles. I took a stab in the dark.
Well, you got it, man. Hey, let's throw out the Haven Lifeline and tackle some of life's, or rather life insurance's, most important questions. Our friends at Haven Life Insurance Agency, they're disrupting the life insurance industry by focusing on what you value most, your family, and your time. They were the first life insurance startup that's also backed, by the way, by industry giant MassMutual. Ever heard of them?
Yeah, they're that small company that's been around for 100 years, right?
Little tiny company, right? To create a high-quality, affordable term life insurance policy that you can purchase, wait for it, entirely online. And qualified healthy applicants even get to skip the medical exam, which can take forever. You spend an extra 3 or 4 weeks because of that medical exam. Guess what? Let's make it quick. And that's why they talk about your family and your time. Head to StackyBenjamins.com/HavenLife. That's StackyBenjamins.com/HavenLife now to get a free quote and learn about life insurance the modern way. Haven Life, by the way, OG, was created because your own Ben Z, the CEO, your own's been on the show, his own experience buying life insurance, he and his wife, they were expecting their first child and he knew it was time to buy a policy and he found it all, shock of shocks, confusing and time-consuming. And he couldn't believe that with all the fintech out there, there wasn't a way to buy life insurance online. So like a lot of these success stories.
I had a problem, decided to solve it.
Solved like it that. Himself. Not an insurance guy at all. Just a very cool man who, by the way, is going to be doing a webinar with us about how to buy insurance in the upcoming future. Well, more about that soon. But right now, let's throw out the Haven Lifeline today to our brand new friend, Adam. Say hello, Adam.
Hey, guys. This is Adam from Indiana. I'd heard that a health savings account can be converted to an IRA at a certain age. Is this true? Thanks. I appreciate your podcast.
Hey, thanks for the question, Adam. And if you've got a question for the Haven Lifeline, you can see how easy Adam did it. I mean, Adam just bada bing, bada boom, got it done. StackyBenjamins.com/voicemail. OG, we're looking at health savings accounts, rolling those babies over to your IRA. True, false?
50% true. How's that?
Man, so let's start here. Which part is false?
Well, it's both kind of true and false. So an HSA is designed to be used for healthcare expenses. And if you don't use the money for a healthcare expense, you have to pay taxes on it and you pay a penalty, right? If you use it for a healthcare expense, you're good. Once you turn 65, if you don't need it for healthcare expenses, which by the way, you will, but if for whatever reason you magically are the healthiest person in the world that never needs healthcare after age 65, then there's no penalty for the withdrawal. So it's just like a 401k or just like an IRA. You take it out, pay taxes, but otherwise no penalty after 65.
And that's why an HSA, and I think this is where Adam gets it right, is that after age 65, it's a big time Swiss Army knife. I mean, you're able to do so much stuff with that at age 65, OG, that it's incredible.
Yeah, I love using the HSA for obviously healthcare expenses. I think what people underestimate is probably the cost of that healthcare expense in the future. You know, if you're 30 right now and you can max fund your HSA if you're a family, you can put in $6,700 a year and you don't happen to be using it, that's fantastic. You know, just accumulate all that money tax deferred, let it grow. You can invest it. A lot of HSAs allow you to invest money. And then at 65, decide what you want to do with it. You know, if you still want to kind of earmark it for healthcare expenses later in life, fold it into your retirement plan at that point in time, almost as an extra little bonus account, so to speak.
You know, we were talking about last week, OG, about how 529 plans, you know, that really has to be used for college planning or the interest that it makes has penalties, has some issues. HSA, if you wait till 65, I mean, there's no downside.
Correct. Yep. No downside.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know what else to say about that. Yes.
Correct. Thanks for the question, Adam. If you'd like us to throw out the Haven Lifeline to you, I think we only have a couple left, OG, that are in the Haven Lifeline bin. Send those to StackyBenjamins.com/voicemail. Doug also brings down the mail, and today we have a letter from our friend Sarah, who delivers the mail up in Maine. Hey, Sarah. Sarah says, hey, Joe and OG, I'm wondering what you think of our asset allocation for retirement. She first starts off, by the way, with VEIEX. You know what that is?
Vanguard.
Emerging markets.
Admin. Okay.
Vanguard emerging markets.
Okay.
So I'm wondering what you think of our asset allocation for retirement. Vanguard emerging markets, 15%. And then the rest, because she's in mail delivery, is in the thrift savings plan, OG. So the international fund, 35%. They call it the I fund. The C fund, which is the common stock fund, which is large company stocks, 25%. And the S fund, 25%. She says that the Vanguard emerging markets is in a Roth IRA and the rest is in the traditional thrift savings plan, half in the U.S., half abroad. It's only 20,000 total so far, but they're both 33 and expect a FERS pension, depending on politics for the next couple decades. She says, well, actually, never mind. Let's pretend I might win the lottery between 57 and 62. Also, we've saved up 10,000 cash and pretend to blow it soon on an appreciating asset. Go us. She says, how's that asset allocation? Is that aggressive or just nuts? Thanks, Sarah. Thanks for the question, Sarah. OG, is Sarah and her spouse, are they aggressive or just nuts?
I'm going to say pretty aggressive. I'll be interested to hear your thoughts on it. It's 50% international. You know, the way that I look at asset allocation is we don't know what areas are going to outperform, right? There's going to be some areas that outperform, some areas that underperform. Don't know where they are. So we have a little bit of everything. That's the whole concept of asset allocation. And so that transcends the investment selection also to countries, right? We don't know if Taiwan's going to do better than China, is going to do better than Canada, is going to do better than Norway. So from a statistical standpoint, the U.S. produces about 52% of the world's GDP. So if you wanted to be straight line, you would just say, well, 52% U.S., 48% the rest of the world. That's pretty aggressive, generally speaking. But I mean, hey, swing for the fences, I guess. I would think that you might want to have a little less S and a little more C. My personal preference on it. Again, you're just splitting hairs, I think, at that point. But if I took anything off the table, I might take a little out of I and a little out of the emerging markets and put that more toward the C and call it a day. But otherwise, you know, not bad. Not the end of the world.
With the emerging markets, if she's putting money in it every year, I like that. The issue that I have is that you have to know what you're getting into. I'm looking at the asset allocation quilt chart. You know, the one OG that shows different asset classes next to each other. Listen to these few years. I'm going to start in 2005, 34%. That's pretty awesome. 2006, 32%. When the stock market dropped, emerging markets up 39%. But in 2008, with a huge drop, OG, emerging markets, worst asset class, down 50. So you lost half of all those huge gains you made. But then the next year it was up 78%. So you got to realize that you're on a bus careening out of control when you're when you're just all in emerging markets. And I like emerging markets. I think you just got to know what you're getting into and be, you know, be ready with the hot sauce.
Well, and I kind of like the fact that that aggressive allocation or that aggressive portion of the portfolio, the most aggressive, I think you'd agree with, is in the thing that you're never going to pay taxes on.
Right.
So you're going to swing for the fences on this. You might as well swing for the fences with the account that is going to have the highest amount of volatility, highest opportunity for returns. But like you said, boy, you got to be A-OK with the fact that that's going to go up. It's going to double and halve itself.
Yeah, out of all the things that she has in her portfolio, that's the one that I first start backing down in, I think. And not back down the money she's already got there. Leave that there. But when she's making new contributions, maybe I don't make the entire Roth to the emerging markets as her portfolio value grows. Thanks for the question, Sarah. If you've got a question and you want to write us a letter, consider that Haven Lifeline instead. StackyBenjamins.com/voicemail. But if you insist I'm writing me a letter, that's joe@stackybenjamins.com, or I'll tell you what you can do. Head to stackybenjamins.com, and it says question for the show, and click on that, and you can very quickly write us a note to the show that we will read and answer on air. And if you've got a question that you don't want to answer on air, instead you realize you need good financial planning help in your quarter, and you want to get on OG's calendar to talk about him being your financial planner. He's taking clients, and you know what that means? Means if you're looking for an advisor, you can head to stackybenjamins.com/OG. It's just a letter O, letter G. That'll take you to his calendar where you can set up some time with him. Big thanks to everybody. Man, the Canadian thing. I thought you and I we're going to get them all right. Like you and I had them all sick.
There were a lot that I didn't know.
Holy cow. I didn't know. But thanks to Tanya from Go Banking Rates for doing that. And also to Nicole and John. That's just hilarious. We'll see everybody back here on Wednesday. Guess who's coming down to the basement Wednesday, OG?
I don't know, but I'm sure you'll tell me.
Today's show money editor, Gene Chatsky.
Oh, all right.
Gene, our friend Gene coming back down. This will be Gene's third appearance on the show. We always love having Gene on. Of course, she also has the Her Money podcast. Gene's always fantastic radio, way better than us. So Gene Chatsky joining us on Wednesday. We'll see everybody then. Go Stacks and Benjamins.
So what did we learn today? First, living in the fast lane, a better life might not reside there. There's lots of truth to taking it slow, just like Aaron Lochner. Second, what's the best place for your money? That depends on your goals. If you've got a loony in your pocket and need to save it, start first by asking, what is this money for? That'll help you make better investing decisions. But the big lesson? You might want to take Tanya Stumphauser from Go Banking Rates on your next trip to Canada. That woman's got her Canadian down. A big thank you to Erin Lochner. You can find a link to her book on her website, designformankind.com, or our show notes page at stackingbenjamins.com. This show is the property of SB Podcasts, LLC. The show is created by Joe Saul Sehi, produced by Richie Rutter Reese, and engineered by the amazing Steve Stewart. SB Podcasts may receive payment on the show from sponsors and guests in the form of books, giveaway items, discounts, or other remuneration. There's no way you would take advice from these dorks, but like Joe's mom always says, don't take advice from people you don't know. This show is for entertainment purposes only, and before making any financial moves, consult with a real financial advisor. And thank you to Nicole and John for totally bombing today's quiz. You made us sit on the Chesterfield with our serviette out, crying. But after a double-double in the morning and a 2-4 after lunch, life will feel much better.
Welcome to the after show. This is the part of the show that doesn't exist. Here's the rules, gang. What happens in the after show stays in the after show. So we don't talk about it, but we have some fun. If you're here for financial stuff, that show's over because OG and I, at this point, we just entertain ourselves talking about whatever interests us. Sometimes it's movies. Sometimes it's board and video games. Sometimes it's crazy news, which is what I've got today for you, OG. This I saw this in Time magazine, and I thought it was awesome. This is from the Associated Press from a couple weeks ago. Moscow, Idaho. A northern Idaho woman told police she crashed into a deer. Guess why she ran into the deer?
Might have had a lot of pops.
It's going to sound like she had a lot of pops. It was because she was distracted by a Sasquatch in a rearview mirror.
Well, there's that.
Yeah. And that and a lot of pops might go together. The Moscow Pullman Daily News reports that the 50-year-old Tensed woman was driving south on U.S. Highway 95 on Wednesday when she struck a deer near Potlatch. The woman told Benoit County Sheriff's officials that she saw a Sasquatch chasing a deer on the side of the road while driving. She says she checked one of her mirrors to get a second look at the beast. When she looked up, the deer ran in front of her. Sheriff's officials marked the incident as a vehicle versus deer collision. But believe it or not, they didn't report any evidence of Bigfoot. Isn't that sad?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm pretty hidden all these years.
Yeah, you don't want to draw attention to your county. Could you imagine, by the way, filing your claim? Okay, ma'am, so can you describe the story to us? Yeah, I was driving down 95. Okay, got that. What was the, again? Yeah, 95. Okay, got that. What type of car? Okay, great. And Okay, tell us why. But well, then I saw something in my rearview mirror. Okay, all right. You look back at it. Yep. Okay. What was it? You saw like, you know what? It was a big hairy guy. It was a Sasquatch. Listen, ma'am, we're having our team meeting right now. Gotta go. Can I play?
Hello, Earth. Okay, bye.
Can I place you on hold for a little while? I remember I was in third grade and my friend Mark, his name was Mark Varney. He had a birthday party and there was this movie called The Legend of Sasquatch, Bigfoot, The Legend of Sasquatch, I think it was called. And I went to it. My mom told me, in fact, she told Mark's parents, said, Joe gets scared very easily and Joe probably shouldn't go. And I went and I didn't sleep for 3 days. I was so afraid. Actually, I did sleep, but I had a heck of a time getting to sleep and my mom was not happy that I went to see Legend. And you know, it's funny. Many years later, I saw that movie and it was so spoofy and campy and dumb. Like, I can't even believe it scared me. You know, it was so dumb.
You're just a sensitive soul.
I really am. I want to talk about one more thing that's very funny going on in our Green Room Facebook group. If you want to be part of the Green Room, just join us there at stackybenjamins.com/greenroom. That's not the actual space that'll take you to our website, but it's a page where we have you then click a link to go to it, because getting to the Green Room is it's this gobbledygook to get you there. But we're having some fun in there. A couple weeks ago, Doug said, I know you guys are all money nerds, but you must like to party, right? Time for a Stacky Benjamin's drinking game. What would get you more schnockered? Drinking every time Joe says he went to the Citadel? I don't say that much, do I?
I already like this. I got to pull this up. But go ahead. I was just listening, and now I like where this is headed. Okay, go ahead.
Or drinking every time he references the rule of 72. He says, ooh. Oh, I suppose you have a better idea, don't you? Go ahead, leave it in the comments if you must. These are mean. Aaron says, drink every time Doug gets shot down at the Sizzler. Chris says that he bought a sweater on a credit card while at the Citadel. How many times have I haven't told that story?
Oh my gosh. Yes. I've heard that story 1,000 times, so I bet imagine our listeners have heard it at least 300.
I don't know what Luke's talking about here. It says, drink anytime OG recommends a bond allocation.
You'd be pretty sober.
Finish your drink if he doesn't qualify as maybe 5 to 10%, 15 max. Yeah, he zero is most of the time. I was shocked when you say that one at all. So I think Luke's got you wrong. Lee says, pound your drink anytime someone mentions dessert or other variations of the name. Oh my, we'd all be hammered, Lee. Chris says, drink every time Joe mentions his trip to Asia or Europe. Did I tell you that I'm going to get back to Europe? By the way,
you mentioned it to me.
I'm headed back to Europe in September. I'll be going to France and to Spain. So I might talk about that. Ryan says, drink every time Joe points out his segue. Greg goes off on a rant. Paula misses a reference. You hear the word save, spender, invest. That'd be a bunch. Somebody talks about Len Penzo's bunker. You and I disagree. Do we disagree that much?
Yes. No.
No. Yes. Joe says he's not trying to teach anything. In fair, when's the last time, by the way, that you and I brought up that we don't teach anything?
Yeah, we don't do too often.
No, you guys bring it up, not us. We get letters that always bring it up. I swear I haven't brought that up in a long time. Maybe. Somebody mentions Dave Ramsey. I only mentioned Dave Ramsey when my arch nemesis Meg writes and says she told her husband that... that we don't talk about Dave Ramsey. And then we had to, because nothing more fun than making Meg mad. And then Joe or OG say, stick to your plan. That's a good one. We should say that all the time. OG goes to the bathroom and misses a special guest. You have a bathroom issue. Joe and OG talk about
small
a movie.
Small bladder.
Neighbor Doug mentions the Sizzler, Joe's mom. And Shane says alcohol poisoning is what that would be. If you did all those. And of course, our show producer, Richie, says, I hope there's an ambulance on standby. John says, Joe mentioned Cheryl, bonus drink if it's followed by Texarkana. I only talk about Cheryl when we're talking about what we're doing, right? In the after show.
I don't know. Now you're going to be terribly self-conscious about everything. So
I know. Doug says, anytime Joe says that's funny.
all the fun is going to go out of this show because you're going to be like, wait, did I say that too much? Maybe I shouldn't do that.
When Joe says back when I was a financial advisor.
You do say that a lot.
When Joe refers to the trenches.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thomas says this wouldn't be fun if we didn't care. Nice. Way to soften the... Thomas puts the velvet on the hammer for us. He says one word, annuity. Sean says, anytime you hear, if you know what I mean, we did that for a while. We haven't done that one in a long time. Roxana says, every time Joe laughs at his own segue. I do that. That one's bad. Then John mentions, we got a lot of drinkers in this group. It appears so, OG. The green room, you might not want to join the green room because they're a bunch of drunks. A
lot of boozers.
Yeah, good stuff. Thanks if you want to hang out with us there. Every once in a while, as you know, OG, we talk money sometimes, but definitely not in that one. All right, thanks, everybody, for those. Those were hilarious. We'll see all of you later. Go stack some Benjamins.